This is Geno Smith of the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio.
It's the JT the Brick Show.
If you're in a relentless pursuit of finding the competitive edge in everything you're doing, you got
to
be on.
100%. I expect to win every time I come out on the field. I don't care what we're doing. You know what I mean? It's every drill, everything we do. I'm expecting to win.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
This is going
to
be a battle. This is going to be physical. This is going to be old school football.
Yes, sir. As a great man once said, just win, baby.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT. I'm standing up in the studio. I'm excited. I'm excited because I can bring together the Raider Nation. Raider Nation, unite. First time I've said that. Let's say it again. Raider Nation, unite. You haven't been divided, but you've been splintered. You've been splintered. You know, you can know it. If you slide into my DMs and I slide back, you claim to be all great Raider fans. You've been splintered the last couple of years because you're angry. You're upset. You want to win the Super Bowl. You want to do great things. You've been pissed off. I know it. I'm the front line of the Raider Nation. In Game of Thrones, I'm the one at the wall as the dragons are flying over. The Bronco dragon and the Chiefs dragon. And I'm there like Jon Snow trying to fight it off with the army of Raider Nation with me. Got to turn it around now, man. I've been waiting just as long as you. Year 28, man. First four playoffs, AFC Championship game, Super Bowl. It's been a long 20 years, man. Long 20 years. Got to turn this thing around. I think we will. I think we got the right people. But I've said we've had the right people before. What are you going to do? Crucify me for that? Because everybody else got hired and had confidence. I said, good luck. I hope you win, coach. Now we got Pete Carroll. And I had my first interview with him yesterday. It's live at Raiders.com. We were going to play it today. But I might save it because Pete Carroll's speaking in 15 minutes. So we're not going to play two Pete Carrolls today. So Pete Carroll's reportedly going to go live at 12:15 Pacific. We'll cure it on Raider Nation Radio. You should be watching me right now on YouTube, JT the Brick. Easy to find. Go into YouTube. Just put JT the Brick YT for YouTube. I'll come right up, hit subscribe, and you can see everybody. And you will make new internet friends like Snow Raider and Kenny Clark and Big D. And everybody who's in there right now, they want to be your friends. They want to connect with you in this part of your day. And then the show lives after the show. I got my son here. I got Bobby here. Bobby is wearing an Aerosmith concert shirt because I think he's the biggest Aerosmith fan I've ever met in my life. And good trivia, because I'm going too fast. I need to slow down my heart rate. The first concert I ever went to in my life, great JT trivia, great. My father let me go to Aerosmith when they were the Toxic Twins. And I went. I graduated high school in 83. And I graduated high school at 17. And I went to college at 17. And I graduated college at 21. But I went to see Aerosmith when I was 15 years old in 1981 at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And I was really surprised my dad let me go. And my dad was the pickup guy. I think I've told this story like once ever. It's a good story. Got to loosen it up here. I got my son here. He's 22. So Grandpa, he let me go to Aerosmith and at the Coliseum. And Mrs. Grell drove us, me and my two buddies. There were three of us. And my dad, his job was to pick us up. Okay, no problem. 15 years old, kind of like getting into it a little bit at 15. You know, getting after it a little bit at 15. Go into the show. We got seats in, you know, like the second deck, whatever. My parents had no idea where I was sitting. No ticket stub. But that was before cell phones and the internet. There was no way to call your dad to pick you up at gate C. There were no cell phones. So long story short, about 10 minutes left to go on the concert. And I look right over to the aisle and my dad's there. And he didn't see me, but I looked at my friends and said, oh, my God. They just let my dad come in. You know, let the parents come at the end of the show to pick up the kids. And my dad just walked in, and he just happened to walk into our section. And then he drove us home, and that was Aerosmith. And the key to the story was, after he let me go see Aerosmith, I saw the second concert of my life that was the biggest game changer. Changed everything. Charlie Daniels Band. It got me into Southern rock. So there you go. I'm just told that story because Bobby's got an Aerosmith shirt on today. All right, we're brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. As you know, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. the best happy hour in town. They are one of the 16 partners we have on the show this year. I bring that up because we can't get in everyone every day, but we try because we got a lot of partners who believe in you, the fans, and you're going to go support our partners. So I got a monster show lined up today. Pete Carroll, Vinny Bonsignore, and Tom Curran. So already this morning, I was on three podcasts. I woke up at 6 in the morning to be on at 7 o'clock on NBC Boston with Tom Curran, who is really the number one guy in Boston on the Patriots. Great friends, knew Tom Brady well, friends with Alex Guerrero, who's with the team. And I went on his podcast. We did about 40 minutes. He was great. He really appreciated what I did. He's coming on 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. He will give you everything you could imagine on the Patriots. You'll be done. After that interview, you'll be like, holy cow, I know everything on the Patriots. Vinny Bonsignore will check in, and then we'll cover Pete Carroll, and then we're going to take phone calls. Yesterday was a dry run. You know, I called it the first day of school. And do you remember on the first day of school when you went home, what was the first thing you did? Your mom, most likely in my generation, mom was home, dad was working. Now mom's work and some dads stay home, or both of them are working. When I came home, my mom would say, how was your day the first day of school? So when I came home yesterday, my wife said, how was your first day of the season? And I said, it was amazing. I interviewed Pete Carroll, but the radio show wasn't very good because the fans weren't ready to go. And she's like, what do you mean? I go, I need 9 lines on hold. I need people telling me that they're ready. So yesterday I was kind of chippy, a little bit edgy, a little bit, you know, insecure. It could happen even to me. And I was like, where is everybody? You don't have this anywhere else in the Raider Nation. You got big podcasts and other big radio shows, but you got nothing like this going this long in this day part. Q does a big show after me, morning show, big show in the morning. So if you are alive and kicking from noon to 2 Pacific or 3 to 5 Eastern, we want to hear from you. I want the outcome of the game now. I want the final score. A lot of people are saying, what do the Raiders have to do to win? No, they have to win. I got the win. We're going to win the game. I work for the team. I'm not saying we're going to lose the game. We're going to win. What's the score? I'll go first. If the Raiders win this game, I believe the Raiders have to put up 24 points, which was a vast mirage and wasteland over the last couple of years. We can't score. We just can't score. Do you know why we've been firing coaches and GMs? You want the inside scoop? Because we can't score. We got Max Crosby. We need some good players. We can't score. That all changes in New England. Now, look, if New England turns into a dogfight and it's 17-14 and we win, we, the Raider Nation, I'm good with that. But I don't want to see that. I want to see Geno throw for 2 or 3. I want to see Ashton on the ground for 1. And maybe a pick. Maybe a pick or 2. We got to get this thing moving. So we got to score some points. Last year, at the Torch, me and Eric would take off our headset to go on the field for the pregame. And we get in the elevator to go down to the field. And I'm like, are we going to score 14? I mean, are we even going to score 14? You know my rule, Daniel Carlson has to provide 9 points. Say that number, 9. 9 points or 2 touchdowns or 3. Give me 3 touchdowns, that's 3 extra points. So that's 3. And just 2 field goals. Sorry, Fabian, I like field goals. I like a field goal. If 3rd and 8, the ball gets knocked down, I want to kick. I want to make that field goal. And I need 2 field goals and 3 extra points. And that gives me 9 from Carlson. And then you take the 9 and you add the 2 touchdowns. You add the 12. And now the number climbs. And we can get to 20. Let's not have a season where we're begging for 20 points, please. I'm a season ticket holder. I got my season ticket gift in the mail yesterday. Thanks to Premium Services, as always. Let's go. I just want to sit in my seat. I want to watch the game, and I want to see some touchdowns. I want to see the ball thrown in the end zone. Say it with me. Throw the ball in the end zone, not in front of the end zone and make someone miss. No. I want the ball thrown into the end zone where people are catching it for touchdowns. And I need Ashton Gentry to pick up first downs on second down. Big thing I'm going to be talking about this year. So Bobby's going to tell me when Pete Carroll steps up to the microphone. The number is 702-365-9200. 702 is the area code of Las Vegas. 365-9200. We're 920. 9200 is easy. You can text. I don't read text. I hope everyone does. I don't read text. I text my friends, my wife, and my kids. If you want to text, Bobby will read it. Ooh, Bobby, by the way, I heard Q say the other day, because he's incredible and he reads text, which are good. But do you have that text machine up there? Because
no,
you don't have it up there. Because man, I don't read text much, but I think Bobby would get a kick out of that.
Yeah,
but
we'll get our crack engineering crew to punch up the screen to teach me how to do it.
Well, they'd have to teach you how to do that.
Exactly.
That's why my 22-year-old son is here with social media to help me with that. So that's what we're doing. Oh, quick announcement. So I did 3 podcasts today already. Please give me a trophy, Juice Box. And today we debut a new podcast with my son, who's going to be the executive producer. It's called, I don't know the name of it yet, but so I'm going to wait for that. But it's Rod Woodson and I are going to talk once a week in a cool environment, really cool environment. The first one is kind of going to be in an office atmosphere, but then we're going to evolve with it. Rod Woodson is one of the greatest players of all time. I call him a top 25er. You know, remember when Deion Sanders kind of got a little bit upset with the Hall of Fame because he didn't think there were more? He wants the elite Hall of Famers in. Rod Woodson's in that room. Rod is not a top 100 player of all time or top 50. He's top 25. And I talk a lot of football with a lot of people, and he is one of the best all-time conversations that you could have is with Rod Woodson. So I want to get to that today. We're going to do that. I don't know where it's going to live. It's going to live on Spotify or Apple Podcast or whatever. I'm not making any money for it yet, but you can make me a millionaire. You can put me on the beach if you download it and download the JT and Looney podcast and everything that we have with the Raiders. Remember, my big, big show every week is Wednesday, and today is Wednesday. So next Wednesday, we do the first hour of the show, Raiders only. It will be on this radio station, but it will be on the Raiders YouTube channel, on Raiders YouTube, big platform. And they're going to give us some really good guests, James Jones, Lincoln Kennedy, Kirk Morrison, Paul Gutierrez, people in the building, big player, maybe the best player on the team, maybe the best player on the team next week. That's a tease. So that'll be cool, too. And then last night I finished my third night on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Bobby, 8 to 11 p.m. Oh, boy. But then I said, you know what was funny about last night? So I finished the show at 11 p.m. I unplugged the machine, and I come up there, and I get ready for bed, and we have the news on. And I watched the dean of the newsmen, Chris Matthews. And my wife said, Chris Matthews is working at 11:20 at night in a suit. I'm sitting there with shorts, just got out of the pool. So I don't feel bad working until 11 at night. Chris Matthews, Dana Wagner, the dean of the newsmen, everybody, they work late. So we're able to do that. So I'm excited today. I'm really excited about this game. I hope the Raiders win. I don't apologize for saying that. I want them to win every game. And today my Super Bowl pick, which will not be the Las Vegas Raiders winning the Super Bowl. It will not be the Las Vegas Raiders. And let me say this quickly. I don't pick the Raiders to win or lose on other people's show. When they say, how many games the Raiders going to win? I say, no comment. How many are they going to lose? I say, I don't know. Because I'm in this seat, and we don't do that. So you want to take a bow and arrow and shoot me for that? I'm fine. I got the armor on. Gangster Raider. He's not on? Okay. The next time Gangster Raider can't hold for 10 minutes on the monologue, welcome him to the show after me, and he'll be great on that one, too. Because I got a superstar, Kenny Thompson, who's on hold. Kenny, how are you?
JT, you're the best, my man, and I think this game is so monumental. If we win this game, we come back on Pete Carroll's birthday, that Monday night game, and we could go 2-0, and then maybe the postseason's in play. But you know what? One game at a time, the old coach's cliche. By the way, you do a great job on Mad Dog, and, of course, you do a great job on your own show. JT, you're the best. 23-20 Raiders. They win it by a field goal. 3 field goals from Carlson, couple touchdowns. Genty gets one of them. Don't know where the other one's coming from, but I think Bowers may get it.
You think Bowers right out of the gate is going to be, Kenny, the guy? Because I need him to get his targets this year. They might go down because of Dante Thornton, Jacoby Myers. Ashton Genty is going to catch 30 to 40 balls out of the backfield. Give me an over-under on Bowers' receptions this year.
Bowers' receptions this year, 81.
81. All right, buddy. I'll see you soon. I hope to see you out here a lot. You're the best, man. Thanks for calling.
Right on, JT. Bye-bye.
Kenny Thompson has a big radio show here in town, too. So that's where we're at. Hopefully we don't have phone problems today. I got a couple of texts that the phones are a bit of an issue, and now they're good. So, again, I apologize if you were there and you're not there. Because normally my leadoff hitter is Chris in West Oakland. He's like Aaron Judge. You can bat him second, third, fourth. Chris in West Oakland, is this your Raiders preview? Is this your Raider? What is this today? Because you know the calendar as good as anybody.
Yeah, first off, I prefer Ricky Henderson over Aaron Judge, so I'll just throw that one out there. But yeah, quick season prediction game. I'll get to the game. Let me hit the game first. Very winnable game. I think New England's going to be a team up and coming this year. I love Drake May. I think Vrabel's going to have this team solid, but this is a winnable game out of the chute. I don't think Brock Bowers' catches are going to go down. I actually think they're going to go up. This can be – great players bring out the best in others without usually losing theirs. You know, Tyreek Hill, you look at Kansas City. When they had Tyreek Hill, when they had all the speed that they don't have anymore, Travis Kelce's numbers were the same. I expect Bowers' number to be the same. I think this year – so the game on Sunday, JT – 24-23 Raiders. I'm with you. You need to score 24 points. I think Carlson – hey, I'm okay with Carlson only scoring 7 points in a game if it's four extra points and a field goal. I think the key to the season is going to be this team has to score more touchdowns. So let's just get that out of the way. 24-23 in the opener. My prediction on the season, JT, I've said this all along. Through all the talk in the offseason, they were ready to win now, ready to win now. Obviously, they want to win now. But the patience they've shown, they haven't made big splashes. They haven't gone out and you know, signed a whole lot of players for a whole lot of money. I don't think they're thinking play. They want to make the playoffs. I don't think it's playoffs or bust with this group. Obviously, Pete Carroll, that's what he's about. But I feel like this team won 4 games a year ago. I'm predicting them to win 8 this year. That's a double. That's double your win total from a year ago, and then next year's the year where you can really set the bar high. I think the AFC West is brutal. You got 3 young stud quarterbacks under 30. I think the AFC West in general, I mean the AFC is brutal. You've got 7 or 8 elite quarterbacks in the AFC. So if this team wins 8, which I hope last year I said 6. Everybody told me I was crazy. And right, I was crazy. It was only 4. But for this team to get to 9 or 10 wins and possibly shoot for a wild card, they have to win games like Sunday, obviously. We got to find a way somewhere along the line to beat a Kansas City, to beat a Philadelphia, to win a game or two we're not expected to win. So at the moment, 8 and 9, I think it's much more important that Geno Smith throws for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns than Aston Jeanty runs.
But Chris, yards. Hold on a second, yes. Chris, because you got the same problem I have. The problem I have is I'm not predicting 8 wins like you, but I'm not predicting 9 or 10. I'm out of it, but that means, ooh, I hate to say it, you think the Broncos or the Chargers are going to win 10 or 11. Am I right to say that?
9 or 10 or 11. If I had to pick right now, yeah, because they've got young and up corner. Listen, Geno is definitely an improvement from Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, or Jimmy Garoppolo. However, and most people have said this, he's good, but right now you can make the argument he's the 4th best quarterback in a division. All with good quarterbacks, it's really, really hard to compete that way, JT. And again, remember, 3 years ago, Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing. We still went 6 and 11. Geno Smith has got to elevate his status. As good as he's been the last few years, he's got to be the 2nd or 3rd best quarterback in the division, not 4th. Mm-hmm. If he turns out to be that, then this team can win 10 games. Right. But like I said, not pessimistic like a year ago. I'm realistic. I think doubling your win total from a year before is an indictment on what a great coach Pete Carroll is, but I also think it's a realistic expectation. Mm-hmm. And anybody that gets on here and says this team can win 11 or 12 games, you're only speaking with your heart, not your mind. So go Raiders 24-23. Let's get to 8. And you know what? Damn it. prove me wrong. I'm tired the last 3 years. I've been pretty right. I want to be wrong. I want to call in January when this team's in the playoffs on 11 wins and say, boy, they got me. Thanks, man. I won't be able to talk to you. Let's get it to you. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Yeah, later. You can talk to me on the post-game show after the Raider game as Lincoln Kennedy and I will be on. The one guy who can prove Chris wrong is Pete Carroll. He just stepped up to the microphone at Raiders headquarters.
We'll see how we did it as coaches. We'll see how we do as players. And when we get to performance time, always in games, it's about making the right adjustments and staying ahead of it if you can and hitting things off before they happen and then also responding to the bad stuff that happens. So that's crucial.
What jumps out when looking at the tape?
They're physical, like you would think. Josh has run the ball a lot in his history, and Mike Vrabel wants to run the football too. They're very physical about it. The running backs run really hard, and they have, like Josh has, you know, traditionally had a really downhill attack, and it's pretty classic, and it's really good.
How about that rushing attack? How much do you have to prepare for also Drake May, who also is a dual threat quarterback himself?
No, it's absolutely on in the middle of the preparation because he is so apt. He ran for almost 500 yards last year, and I think our numbers were like he's the second most scrambling guy last year. We know that he can take off and run and he can make things happen, and he did it in preseason. It made it look easy. So that's a big factor in their favor as a running team as well. It's even more important.
Is there some going to the game where you say, if we do this, I think we'll be okay?
No. I would say the number one thing is if we take care of the ball, that gives us our best chance. If we get the ball, that's the second best. So that's it. But other than that, no, there ain't no one thing. It's a whole bunch of stuff.
What's your philosophy on emergency quarterback?
How you use it.
What is my philosophy?
Yeah.
Well, if you to that point, then the emergency is no longer an emergency; it's a reality, and you're putting the guy in the game. That's all I can tell you. He's got to go do the best he can.
Obviously, you have a long history coaching, but there's a special.
Why do we keep going back to that theme here, guys? I don't know.
Well,
that's right. It's true.
You have a particular history with New England in a couple different ways. I mean, does it still mean something to play against the Patriots?
Yeah, it does.
When you look at this Patriots front, what stands out to you about kind of what you think those guys can do well up there?
Well, both the inside guys are really good. They're really good. Milton had a terrific season last year and has had a number of good years to build it up. Barrymore, they're legit. So we have issues with those guys right off the bat.
Pete, I know Dante had his ups and downs as a rookie in camp and preseason, but what ultimately made you say, I trust him, I want him to be the starter?
Well, he's done really well. He's continued to improve throughout, and his confidence is up. He's had plenty of good practice work and against our best guys that shows that he's worthy of doing a lot of playing for us.
Also, Booker came in pretty late in a trade and worked his way into a prime spot in the rotation. What has he showed you guys that you trust him?
He's really smart. He's really tough. His consistency of effort is excellent. Chases the ball really well. Technique-wise, he's really sound. I mean, it jumped out right in the first couple of days we got him out there that he understood what the expectations of the position were. And, he's really stout, as strong as you can get.
Bigger investment in analytics this offseason. You talked about that something being sort of new for you, working with Ryan Paganetti and others. How has that sort of played out in the preseason in terms of in-game decision-making? Like, how do you think that process has gone once the action is live?
Well, analytics isn't new to me, but these guys are new. We got new people, and they have different backgrounds, and they come with different strengths and experiences and all that. So we're trying to incorporate the best that they have to offer. That's been the challenge for us. Our guys we're working well together right now. We spend a lot of time together, and it's not just talking numbers and analytics. It's just talking football and principles and approach and philosophy and approach that will dictate the situation calls that we make. Our communications have been okay in the first four attempts that we've had, but we'll get better as we go. We need the experience, but I feel really confident that the situations that will arise, we will have already prepared for. So that's a good thing. And we just got to hope that the headsets work so we can all talk.
You had said that the cornerback opposite Eric was going to come down, kind of down to the wire. What was it about Caillou Blue Kelly that nudged him ahead?
Well, he's had really good work. We got to make sure that he's okay. So Darian's ready to go too. We got to make sure that he makes it through the week because he had a hamstring that we just don't want to make sure it's all right. So But what he has done is he's been very active. He's demonstrated a really good general awareness of playing the position. And that's not just covering people. That's run game, containment, all of those kinds of things that come from experience. And he showed some good things. It gave us some confidence that he would be ready to play. So, I love playing young guys, and our young guys will play. And so, but we'll see what happens by the end of the week, how that works out.
You mentioned Darian having to be ready to go just in case. How confident are you that he is and will be ready?
No, he's as ready as he can get right now. we got a couple more days to fill in here, but he's had a marvelous camp for us and has come a tremendous distance. And so I'm excited about him playing. I can't wait to see him on the game field.
You kind of just said, you said the whole training camp, you're not scared to play your young guys. You know, when you have so many rookies that are in prominent roles, starting for the team, what's your message to them to kind of ease them into this game?
Yeah, well, they need to lean on the guys around them and don't think that they're the whole show. And all I've ever asked of our guys is to be the best they can be, and so there's that pressure. It doesn't have to do with outside expectations and all that. And I think that allows them to be more calm and more composed and more focused in the moments. That's what we're trying to get done with everybody on the football team. But for the young guys, it's really important too.
Have you seen Amari and Kenny for a couple of days? Are you pretty confident they're up to speed enough to be ready?
I want to see the whole week. Kenny is. We made sure that Kenny didn't burst at any time, because he was coming off a hammy, and Amari's done well so far. We just want to get through some more practices. We just haven't had that much time yet.
Clarify. You mean Kai's still nursing the hamstring, not Darian, right?
Yeah, did I say that wrong?
No, it's just I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
You guys all set?
The answer is yes.
Good?
All right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, they're good. That was Pete Carroll. Happy we're able to do that. That's kind of a nice gift when we're in the middle of the show, the beginning of the show, and we get Pete Carroll live. So if you're on hold, I'll get to you first. We don't have guests lined up until hour number two, where we have Tom Curran from the Patriots, who's great. Not good, he's great. And Vinny Bonsignor. So that's a good show. And then we got our Thursday show. Tomorrow will be my conversation with Pete Carroll. And I had my first conversation with Coach. And again, last year and a half, it was me and Antonio Pierce. Different type of interview. Coach Pierce came in there, hoodie on, like bouncing off the wall, which I liked. And Coach Carroll came in, chill, different, loved it too. And it was really cool conversation. That's already up at YouTube and Raiders.com. We'll play that tomorrow. And then Friday, we got our Friday show. And then we head into the weekend. So that's what we're doing. The monologue brought to you by Grimaldi's. Hands down, my favorite pizza. Only at Grimaldi's can you get the famous New York-style fired coal brick oven pizza. I just love it. Every time I go, it's fantastic. Four locations in the Valley. Boca Park, my go-to. The Canal Shops, Grand Canal at Palazzo. If you're going to see the Wizard of Oz or the Eagles, go right by it when you walk in. South Rainbow, and as you climb Eastern, all the way up Eastern, you're going to sit in that Eastern traffic, man, in Deep Henderson. You might as well pull over at Grimaldi's. Thanks to Grimaldi's, our great partner and home of the $50 gift card. That was a fantastic 28 minutes of radio, and I had nothing to do with it. Calls were good. Pete Carroll was great. And now we're ready to roll. Feels good, Raider Nation. We got a new season. September is here, and we got real football along with college and baseball. God, the Padres can't get out of the way of themselves. And the Dodgers couldn't beat the Pirates last night.
Over the next few weeks of summer, JT will look back at the most influential Raiders draft picks in the history of this storied franchise.
With the 13th pick, the Las Vegas Raiders select
the players only drafted by the Raiders who played in the most important games and also had lasting impacts on the NFL.
Cliff was Cliff. You can't cover Cliff. There ain't nobody to cover Cliff. Cliff Branch was one of the greatest receivers the Raiders had. But Cliff had a very good game, made two big catches for us in that game, which was excellent. But he was a big-time player because he took the top off the defense. He ran through that doggone secondary, and they all worrying about him. And Freddie was loving it all. Him and the tight ends, they're loving it all because Cliff cleaned it out. Send him on a flag route across the field. Send him on the deep post route. Send him on a deep comeback. Everything was deep. Notice I'm saying deep. That's what we had, deep, deep routes.
Art Shell could have been number one. He's in the top five of the greatest Raider draft picks of all time. Art Lee Shell, born November 26, 1946. What a player. One of the greatest living football players in the world. He is that great of a human being and a player. Went to Maryland State, NFL draft in 1968, the third round, 80th pick overall. How would you like to be, DJ Glaze, I think was third round, if I'm right. How would you like to draft Art Shell with the 80th pick overall? Turned out to be Mr. Davis, one of the greatest picks ever in not only Raider history, but NFL history. On top of being the first African-American head coach, a Hall of Famer, a college football Hall of Famer, the list goes on and on. I do not have enough time today to go through his accomplishments. But why was he so important? Well, it's because he came to the Raiders with good expectations in the third round. But 80th overall? You get a player like this, you take him in the first round, your first pick. But the Raiders knew that they had this player and they scouted him better than everybody else. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion, a two-time first-team All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, 70s All-Decade team, 100th anniversary all-time team. Just incredible. His AFL and NFL stats, he played 207 games, started 169. And his head coaching record, when you look at him as a head coach, he was 56-52. Not bad. Not great, but he was a good coach overall. Not at the stellar era of Flores with two rings or Madden, but he did his best. And being in two Hall of Fames of pro football and college football Hall of Fame. Tomorrow is the greatest Raider draft pick of all time. There's only one number one. Everybody else who I mentioned in the last 2 weeks are in the top 10. You can put them in the order that you want. Gangster Raider up next on the flagship. Good to have you up. Go ahead.
What's up, JT? I didn't hang up on you. It's your phone system. I had to call in twice and
okay,
it hung up on
we
me.
Got then you.
I was a hold on.
We got you. We don't have to we don't have to talk about history.
Okay.
You're good. Go ahead.
All right, as far as the game concerned, my score is 34-15, us. You know what I'm saying? That's only if our line and our secondary hold up. If we can get those together, then that's guaranteed because I believe that we should be able to stop them from running the ball because of our defensive line and our linebackers. And if we can shut them down with the corners, I think we should hold them to 5 field goals and we should be able to score 34 points. But, JT, look at the bullets we dodged. Remember when in the offseason when he was trying to get Matthew Stafford? Imagine if we'd have signed Matthew Stafford and he'd have been out all this time. It would have been like the Jimmy G thing all over again except with Matthew Stafford. And I'm here in L.A. They're not trying to make it a big deal because he's not practicing. But had it been us in Vegas and doing that again, we'd have been the laughing stock of the league going to get getting Stafford. That's why I'm glad we got Geno, you know what I'm saying, because I believe that Geno, with the offense that we have, and especially at the defense and, I mean, the secondary and the O-line can hold up, we should be able to win at least 10 games, at least. My record prediction is 13-4, but that's only if the line and the secondary holds up. And the line and the secondary go squarely on Pete Carroll because he coaches the secondary. He's the secondary guru, and his son is coaching the offensive line. So both of those are the weak points, so they fall squarely on him. And so if they don't pan up, then we need to put the blame on Pete, just like we was putting the blame on AP last year. All right, y'all, keep it gangsta. I'm
Thank
gone,
you.
JT.
Thank
I'm
you.
Pumped up.
Appreciate it. You sound pumped up. I'm not predicting the Raiders to win in a blowout. I'm not predicting that. I'm predicting the Raiders to win a tight game. I don't see many blowouts for the Raiders coming off 4 wins, but I think Gangster made a good point about Geno. And look, when the Raiders decided to sign Jimmy Garoppolo, who had the women swoon in Summerlin, the women in Summerlin, with all due respect to the ladies in Henderson, but the women in Summerlin were swooning over Jimmy G, a very good-looking man. He bought the whole team shots of Casamigos the first night I hung out with him. I wanted him to be great. Good guy. Really good guy. and he was injured. And we drafted Tyree Wilson, and he was injured. We can't draft guys who are injured. Geno's healthy. Let's hope Geno stays healthy. I think Kenny Pickett's behind him in case Kenny Pickett has to come in, and he can win games for us. He can. But it's Geno. Jeff in Rhode Island from the Black Hole has got everything you need to know if you're going on this trip. We're going to have Mark Jones, the head of the Black Hole, on later this week. So, Jeff, thanks for waiting and reaching out. Tell everybody about the game plan in Rhode Island to Foxborough.
What's up, JT? How you doing today, brother?
Good, brother.
We've got a lot of stuff planned for this weekend. Starting with Saturday, we are going to be getting a bus from the city of Providence, Rockton, for the memorial ceremony for Al Davis. And then when we're done with that, we're going to go over to the house that Al Davis was born in. We're going to take a big group picture of everybody that's there in Raider Nation. And then we're going back to Blake's for 5 p.m. We've got the blackout party at Blake's Tavern, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., co-hosted with the Black Hole chapter in New England and Raiders Against the World. We're going to have Modelo on draft. We've got giveaways. We've got raffle items. We've got 50-50. No cover charge to get in. It's cash bar. Full food menu is available for food purchases. And on Sunday morning, we have the blackout tailgate in lot 55B. That's 55B as in Bravo. Again, hosted by our chapter here in New England, the Black Hole, and Raiders Against the World. There's no charge for the tailgate. What we're asking for is any donations to the chapter. Anybody wants to give to help us support this, but there's no charge. We've got Modelo that we're going to have. We have chicken parm. We have sausage and peppers. We're going to have hot dogs. We're going to have burgers. We're going to have all this. We've got plenty of waters. We have a DJ for both, for the Saturday night party and for the Sunday tailgate. So we're doing this, and we're doing this big. We're trying to black out New England and draw attention to the first game of this season here in New England and show that Raider Nation is back on the map, and we're coming into New England, and we're doing it strong. We're doing it proud, and we are here. And then when we're done on Sunday, when that game is over, win, lose, draw, tie, whatever, we're still Raider Nation. We're going back up to Boston to the Scorpion Bar for a post-game party hosted by Raw, Raiders Against the World. They are closed on Sundays, but they are opening just for us Sunday night.
How about that?
So,
hey, Wait a second. You got chicken parm at the tailgate. I chicken parm. Yep. You kidding me? You're telling me if Raider Nation goes through the tailgate, you'll get a chicken parm, a little plastic fork, your Modelo. I mean, does it get any better? And the weather's going to be good. Give me a weather update.
Weather update on that? Actually, the weather's going to be pretty decent, actually. Yeah. Let me bring that up here.
Okay.
Today, it's actually kind of warm. It's in the 70s here today.
All right.
Looks like Saturday's going to be 83 with afternoon, late-night showers. Don't matter. We'll be inside anyway.
Good.
Sunday, 71, partly cloudy.
All right, Jeff. So
that is
you're telling me, I got to run here. You're telling me 55B is the tailgate. 55B.
Yes, sir. 55B.
I wish I could be there. I'm anchoring everything back in Vegas. Go get the win and keep following in, man. Appreciate you calling.
Appreciate you. Thank you, brother, for the chance.
Thank you. Thank you. That sounds like a big boy. That's a big boy tailgate, man. And when you hear Pete Carroll on with me tomorrow, he really cares about this. They all do. All the coaches love the Raider Nation, but Pete Carroll wants this thing to show up in a big way. That sounds like a big tailgate. Raider fans, that's a big tailgate. This blackout thing, black hole thing. I would be there. I'd get there if I were you. Dave in Vegas. How are you, Dave? What's going on?
Hey, Dane, JT, thanks for having me.
Hey, Dane,
so,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Dane, yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So anyways, I think it's going to be a little bit of a lower scoring affair. Mm-hmm. I slightly disagree with you when you say that you think the Raiders need to score 24. I'd love to see them score 24 or more. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be close to that, but I think both teams are going to try to establish the run. I think that's the way Vrabel coaches, and I think that's what Josh McDaniels is going to try to do. Is I think he's going to try to run it right at us until we can prove we can stop it. With Christian Wilkins no longer in the center there, I think that he's going to try to test these defensive tackles. And I have hope for them, but I think that's going to be a prominent part of his game plan. One big thing that I know you guys are going to touch on, especially when the New England Patriot pro comes on in the next hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, the big story over there is the Christian Gonzalez thing. And, of course, you never root for injuries, but it's a big deal. He's an all-pro, And in my opinion, he's the only defensive back on the Patriots roster who can match up with Brock Bowers. The only one. If he doesn't end up playing because they're nursing a hamstring or want to take it as slow, you know, slow with him, I think that's a huge deal. I think that that means that they need to key in on Brock, and they might not have the horses to do that. So that's something that we, you know, really needs to be to watch. He's an All-Pro. Next thing, we simply can't get in the deficits that we had last year, and I don't think we will. But how many games in a row were they? You know, it was a stat. How many games, double-digit games, where they were down 10 points or more at some point in the game? Can't happen. They can't be fighting from behind in the second half like they were all last year. And I know that this is a new team, but that trend has to stop starting in week one. And I'll leave you with this, and I think this is the advantage that this Raiders team has over last year's, and it comes back to Pete Carroll. I think that he's going to be very good with clock management. We saw in the preseason, timeouts were used right when they were supposed to be. He was extremely aggressive before halftime, and that was something that was a huge criticism of last year's team, was how conservative they got, you know, going into half or two-minute drill or maybe a little mismanagement of the timeout towards the end of games. And in close games, like we all assume this probably will be, I think that's going to play a large part. So I think having Pete Carroll on the sidelines, not only for his aggression, but for his wise use of clock management, is going to pay dividends this weekend against the Patriots.
Yeah, you better believe it. Thanks for the call. Great phone call. Clock management, time, Pete Carroll making decisions in real time on the sideline. I'm really looking forward to that. The show has a proud new partner, Finley Volvo Cars Las Vegas. How about that? Have you been in a Volvo lately? They got hybrids. Arguably the best stereo in the world and one of the safest cars ever made is a Volvo. It's right there at the 215 and Rainbow. I drive by it every day when I come from Summerlin and I drive to the Raiders headquarters. It's right there. I wave to it. You got to go see Mike. You got to go test drive a Volvo. When I walked in and I saw the showroom and the staff and all the vehicles they had there, I was super impressed. Go to FinleyVolvo.com. The key on this partnership, all they want you to do is go on a test drive. Go check out this vehicle. So if you're thinking about other vehicles and high-end vehicles, stop. Go over to Mike at 215 and Rainbow at Volvo. Test drive one of their hybrids, and it'll change your life. Really happy that they love what we're doing. They're a new proud partner of the show. Next hour is going to be ripping, too. We have Vinny Bonsignore and Tom Curran on. I love doing this, man. I love when we have insiders on. I got a hell of a Rolodex because Bobby built it over 20 years. We can call any insider in any market and get them on the radio. And next week, we'll pivot. Charger insiders? Oh, there's only one. Hacksaw. Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. Next week for the Chargers.
Because football is the ultimate team sport. And even in this broadcasting role, Chris, that's what I look for all the time. When a quarterback throws a touchdown pass, I actually watch to see who he goes and celebrates with. Because what did I do? I looked for my offensive lineman every time. I went down and celebrated in the end zone with my teammates every time. I wanted everyone to feel like they were part of the success. I told the linemen, we're all running to the end zone and we're celebrating as a team. Because I think that's way more intimidating than a quarterback doing his six-shooter guns and pointing up in the crowd and doing all that other bullshit that's very self-promotional, but it's not about winning. And I think winning in football is about a team, always a team attitude first.
Wow, Tom Brady. Couple of clues right there. If you're wondering why Shador ain't here, that's it. Tom Brady celebrated with his offensive lineman every time. And as we noticed in the preseason, Geno was meeting the team when the Raiders and Cam Miller and the Raiders scored. Geno was running to his teammates. Where do you think he got that from? Probably had it already, but Tom Brady made that clear that he wants to see it. So coming up next hour, Tom Curran will join us live. And he's really good. Patriot insider. And What's happening now, which is so unique, is that Tom Brady just got a statue at Gillette Stadium. Okay, he got a statue. And last night, or the night before, I think it was last night, he showed up in Tampa at their 50-year anniversary. Red carpet. Big deal. I think Gruden was there, Tony Dungy, as they celebrated 50 years, and Brady did the let's blank go It's all over social media. So Brady won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. He won six with New England. But now he's the minority owner of the Raiders. So as Tom and I talked about on his podcast earlier today, do we all understand that Brady is now a Raider and wants the Raiders to win more than the Patriots? It's very difficult for people to understand that. And it's taken me a quarter century, I hope, to prove to many. I grew up a Giant fan, diehard. As soon as I got hired by the Raiders and I had a job, the Raiders became my team. Doesn't mean I don't respect my years with the Giants. It's a job. There are guys who do play-by-play for the New Orleans Saints, and then they become the play-by-play voice, say, of the Commanders. They don't stay with the Saints. They are full-blooded with the new team. Brady is now a Raider. He's an owner. He's not a consultant. So when people are going in New England, oh, Tom wants us to win. No, he doesn't. It's very hard for people to understand unless you really know sports, and most of our audience is really good at sports. So Brady wants the Raiders to win at all costs. Now, if Brady sells the team, his portion, and God, that's a big number, if he sells it 10 years from now and decides to go buy the Patriots, that could change. But he understands now that Brady is all in on the Raiders. It's life. People get divorced. People get remarried. People get new jobs. You could be sitting there working for IBM, and you love IBM, and you got all the collared T-shirts. You get hired by Cisco. You love Cisco now. That's your new brand. I don't know why people have a tough time with this. Unless you're the Chiefs and you have a pop star, and all of her fans don't know anything about football, now they love the Chiefs. That's a problem to me. Oh, I can't get off that topic, Bobby. My wife's like, stop with that. I'm like, no. My wife's a Swiftie, but she ain't no Chiefs fan. I can tell you that. And my wife's originally a Bears fan, but she is now a season ticket holder for the Raiders. And we're excited about the home opener on Monday night. And then the next big announcement is we're going. My son, who's here with me now, I bought two tickets for my sons to go see Canelo fight. If you wonder why I work so many jobs, I paid for Canelo tickets. How much did those things cost, Bobby? Woo! Oh, Canelo, fighting Crawford. You know I root for the American over the foreigner, but I like Canelo. Big second hour on deck. Make sure you're here. Brought to you by the 872 Laborers, led by the great Tommy White.